This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer. And Bridget, we're getting really close to golf, the golf outing here at Catholic Radio.
Yeah.
Tuesday, May 22nd. At the Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. And the big attraction this year, Chris Ballard, Indianapolis Colts general manager, will be the speaker for a few minutes after dinner. And it's not going to be anything long and drawn out because everybody's had a great day on the golf course all day, but we're going to have a great dinner. And then Chris will speak for a few minutes and let you know what to expect from the Indianapolis Colts this year. The date for the outing is May 22nd. It begins with 10 a.m. registration, and then Mass at 11, lunch, golf, dinner, and Chris Ballard from the Indianapolis Colts, all for $450 for a foursome or $125 for individual golfers. You can register online at Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, CatholicRadioIndy.org, or just give us a call here at 317-870-8400.
And I'm here with my guest, Dr. Brandon Brown. He is a physician in pediatric and fetal radiology at Riley Hospital for Children. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you very much. It's a real treat to be here.
And you're also Catholic, too.
That's right.
Which is cool.
I am.
To have, you know, doctors that are well-formed in their faith and really able to animate that and articulate that from a both a scientific and medical perspective, but with that faith formation influence and background and perspective. So thank you for your gift of knowledge and your Catholicism. Did you grow up Catholic?
I did, yeah. Lifelong Catholic, and my parents as well. So definitely I'm coming from a thoroughly Catholic culture. And I agree with your comment about the Catholic faith in healthcare. It's a very natural fit. There's a strong tradition of the Catholic Church and Catholics around the world serving a prominent role in healthcare. So I really appreciate the connection there.
So tell me a little bit about your background, what you do. We're going to be talking about fetal medicine, and I just want to get this out there that you are going to be speaking Wednesday, May 23rd at Holy Rosary, which is your home parish in Indianapolis, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on fetal medicine.
That's right.
We're talking about fetal medicine on the show, but you can also hear Dr. Brown speak on Wednesday, May 23rd, coming up in a couple weeks or a week or two. So what is fetal medicine, and how did you happen to get into that?
Well, I am, by training, I'm a pediatric radiologist. And then from there, I was able to branch into prenatal radiology. So radiology is a field of imaging, medical imaging. We use all types, ultrasound, X-ray, MRI, to better understand disease and plan treatments and guide management. And it's become a very important part of how we practice medicine today. But as you might imagine, the younger the patient is, the less well able they are to express what's wrong with them.
Obviously. So absolutely. You know, when my kids were really young, it's like, it's terrifying as a parent. It's like, what do you do? What's wrong? You're not sure. You have
exactly.
to figure it out. And if you're in the womb,
that's the extreme.
Even more.
So the adult who can tell us about their ailment, we can do an exam, we can get lab tests, down to the child who maybe can't tell us, but we can still do an exam, mm-hmm. to the prenatal patient, where we can do a very minimal exam of mom's uterus, mm-hmm. and we depend very heavily on imaging.
Now, tell me, have you have some OBGYN training too in philosophy, and how does that all kind of fit in with this?
So, yeah, I do have involvement in multiple departments. So I'm a radiologist at Riley Hospital for Children, and okay. I'm on the faculty at the School of Medicine and at the School of Liberal Arts. So I teach some bioethics through the departments of philosophy and medical humanities.
At IU.
IUPUI,
right?
That's right, yes. And I also... And I also teach in the School of Medicine in several different departments, fetal medicine and perinatal. When we say perinatal, we mean the period leading up to birth, through birth, and right after birth. And so perinatal medicine is right at the center of several different specialties, pediatrics, obviously, obstetrics, so the prenatal care, and then all of the specialties that care for the different diseases that can occur just, you know, as part of prenatal diagnosis or in the newborn period. So I have kind of a finger in many different departments: obstetrics, pediatrics, and then radiology.
Now, when you say imaging for a preborn infant, you're talking ultrasounds, is that right? Or are there other images as well?
There are, yeah. So ultrasound is definitely the first line imaging. It's the one we're all familiar with. We've all seen the image clipped to the refrigerator of the profile of the baby.
It says, hi, mom.
That's right. Yeah, if you've had children, you've probably had one of those pictures given to you.
Yeah.
It's a portable technology. It's accessible. It's non-invasive. It's easy to use even in third world settings. It's a great technology.
And that's changed quite a bit too, hasn't it?
It's improved.
Some of the earlier images were pretty hard to tell what you were looking
at. That's right,
and
yes.
How has that changed over the years?
Certainly the technology's improved. Our ability to get higher resolution images, to get faster imaging technology, which then allows us to do things like three-dimensional and even four-dimensional, with the fourth dimension being time. So you can get videos of very realistic 3D modeling. But it still has its limits. Mm-hmm. So ultrasound is always taking a small picture of a larger space. It's almost like shining a flashlight in a dark room. Mm-hmm. It could be a great flashlight. It could be a strong flashlight, but you're never seeing the whole room all at once. So we've started using in healthcare, especially here in the United States and somewhat in Europe, MRI. So that's imaging that does not depend on radiation. So it's safe for mom, it's safe for baby, but it depends on magnetic fields, and it takes advantage of that technology to create very, very clear images, not just like a flashlight in a dark room, but we can see the entirety of mom's abdomen, the uterus, the placenta, and the baby all at once. And we can look at not just one organ at a time, but the entire, you know, the fetal brain and the organs and everything.
Wow.
And so it allows us, for select cases that require that advanced level of care, it allows us to really refine what we see, make a clearer diagnosis, and plan. You know, a lot of times in medicine, we focus very much on treatment. Everything we do is geared towards fixing a problem. When it comes to the prenatal period, we can't always fix these problems. Let's say we do some imaging and we realize that the pregnancy is, you know, missing a big part of the brain. There's not really anything you can go in and fix about that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't require care, because there's things we need to plan. We need to plan the delivery. We need to plan for the immediate newborn period. And all of the practitioners who are going to care for that patient, they need to plan. But the family, you know, this is about family-centered care.
Sure.
And they need time to understand what they're about to face. Could be a very challenging journey. You know, maybe months in the hospital, maybe multiple surgeries. Maybe they live out in a rural community and they're going to have to spend all their time in an urban setting at a major medical center. So they've got to think jobs, housing. So we're really trying to focus not just on fixing problems, but also taking care of families.
So if you're just tuning in right now, we're talking with Brandon, Dr. Brandon Brown, and we're talking about fetal medicine, which is an area that he's working in. What are some of the things that can be diagnosed, or what are some of the treatments that you use or that are available at this stage?
Well, you know,
I know you talked about planning, but I know that when we talk about, there's so many different treatments in the stem cell area, which is different from what we're talking about here with fetal medicine, but they're always changing in terms of diagnosis and treatment. And I'm just kind of curious, what do you do a lot in the fetal medicine area, and how does that impact what happens later on?
Right. Yeah, we're not quite able to use stem cells yet.
Okay. I know that's a whole different topic.
That's a whole different topic. But, you know, it's interesting you bring it up, because pregnancy is a great source of stem cells. So after delivery, the cord and the blood from that cord and even the placenta are actually a great source of stem cells. Seems like a very young patient, but those are actually adult stem cells.
Right.
You know, quote unquote. And they're being used in a variety of settings, mostly with blood diseases. So that's a source, but not yet a target for our therapies with stem cells. What we can do in fetal medicine is we can prepare for immediate newborn surgeries. And when I say immediate, sometimes I mean before the cord has even been cut.
Wow.
So there is a whole developing field, this field of fetal medicine. You know, if you'd said that 25 years ago, people might have looked at you a little bit strange. It was there, but it was a very small minority, but it's growing. It's growing in prominence, and you're starting to see it in more than just the largest cities in the world. And the idea is that with our advanced imaging, we can diagnose problems and we can develop treatments. Most treatments just after birth, but a few treatments in the womb. So fetal surgery is something that's being done.
Yeah, I know. I've read about that, or I've heard about that. Could you talk a little bit more about what those treatments are, those
Absolutely.
Surgeries are? Because that's
yeah.
really fascinating.
It is, yes. And it's very challenging because on one hand, the sooner you deal with a problem, the better it is, rather mm-hmm. than waiting for it to progress in advance. On the other hand, anytime you irritate the uterus, and the extreme of that would be cutting into it, which you have to do for fetal surgery, at least most of the time. Anytime you do that to the uterus, you increase the chances the uterus is going to say, that's it, I'm getting this baby out of here.
Right.
And mom's going to preterm labor. Mm-hmm. So the big risk we take with fetal surgery is that the pregnancy won't continue like it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some cases that are so urgent or emergent that they really require our intervention. So for example, we know that anything that affects the developing fetal lung is going to have a profound impact, a negative impact on that newborn baby after delivery. The lungs really need to be preserved. We've gotten very good in medicine at replacing the function of the kidneys with dialysis, or replacing the function of, you know, putting oxygen into the blood with a therapy called ECMO. But if you don't have properly formed lungs, there's not very much we can do for you. So we try and target a lot of our care and attention on preserving the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several conditions, whether it's a cyst or a tumor, or whether it's abdominal organs pushing up on the lungs, that can squeeze and compress those fetal lungs. It's a very, very big problem for us. So we're doing all kinds of therapies that try to preserve the lungs, including trapping fluid in the fetal lungs,
mm-hmm.
And even putting a device inside the fetal neck in the trachea to keep fluid in the lungs as long as possible, because that's how they grow. You know, we think fluid in the lungs, that sounds terrible to us.
Exactly.
I need to breathe. But the fetus is surrounded with fluid.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the fluid is actually nourishing and helping those lungs grow.
Well, we need to take a quick break, but there are so many things I want to talk when we come back, so stay tuned and we'll be right back.
If you're a golfer, you probably know this sound. That's the sound of you teeing off with that shot that you hope just might be a hole-in-one. And you probably know this sound also. That's the sound of your golf ball going into the cup 5 strokes later. It doesn't matter how you golf. If you have fun golfing, you're going to enjoy our Catholic Radio Golf Outing Tuesday, May 22nd at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. It's a full day with Mass at 11 o'clock, lunch at 11:30, a full afternoon of golf, and a delicious dinner with guest speaker Chris Ballard, General Manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Don't miss it. You can sign up now by calling 317-870-8400 or by going online to CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's 317-870-8400 or CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Start your weekend off right with Catholic Radio Indy's Saturday morning lineup. Join James Littleton for Forming Faithful Families at 9, followed by the pro-life message of I Choose Life at 9:30. Then enjoy today's music with a Catholic message at 10 on Catholic Jukebox Indiana. At 11 o'clock, we'll share an hour of Catholic thought and philosophy on the Catholic Cave. And at noon, it's time to grab a bite, sit back, and enjoy some food for thought with 2 episodes of Faith in Action. That's the Saturday morning lineup from your source for 100% Catholic programming, Catholic Radio Indy.
And the work that God does through you, it's brought joy to the people that I'm around, because I'm a different person because of you guys.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. We're here with Dr. Brandon Brown, and we're talking about fetal medicine. And we were talking about some of the repairs that can go on with the fetus with various surgeries. And so let's continue there.
Yes. So another area that's very important is when the spine doesn't cover or close properly. So many women who've been through pregnancy have been told, you know, by their doctor, you've got to take your prenatal vitamins. And specifically, you might have heard you've got to take folate. Mm-hmm. And that's because it helps that spinal canal, the neural tube, sometimes we say, to close. If it doesn't close, your spinal cord is vulnerable. It's unprotected. It can even be exposed completely. And so for certain types of conditions where there's a defect in the normal tissues, the bone and the soft tissues that would cover the spine, that space can bulge out. It can balloon out to where there's a big cyst with the end of the spinal cord in it. We call that a myelomeningocele, or some people would use the term spina bifida.
Mm-hmm. I've heard
of
it.
And that's a problem because, you know, the spine is full of the nerves that control not just movement like walking, but the function of your body, of your bowel and your urinary system. So one newer approach is to repair that spina bifida in utero, to actually go into the uterus, find the area that's exposed that didn't close properly, close it up, and then put everything back together. Wow. And say a prayer that the pregnancy continues, because it's a dangerous thing.
And when you're talking about surgeries like this, are you talking about micro robotic surgery, or you're talking about good old hands and fingers and scalpels and that sort of thing?
I'm talking about good old-fashioned looking with your own eyes and using your own hands to fix
Wow.
it. Now, there is also something called fetoscopic treatments, where you can put a camera in there and do things in a minimally invasive way. But for this spinal condition, spina bifida, a lot of times they're doing what would be called an open repair. And that ends up having, in the cases that we've been able to see so far, having a real impact in the lives of these children, because it helps them with the need for very debilitating procedures and devices after birth. It makes it less likely that they would need some of those things.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I was thinking about and I wanted to ask you is, how does this whole field of fetal medicine help inform the understanding of the human person, kind of more from a bioethics or, you know, philosophical perspective? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I think by definition, if we're going to focus time and energy and attention on this patient, the mm-hmm. unborn human being,
the patient,
we are giving a validity to that developing life. And mm-hmm. we are saying this is a life worthy of attention, and this is a life worthy of our care. And it's not just care, by the way, of one physician. It's not just one little clinic visit. There is such a complex team that's dedicated and committed to these patients. We have specialists from surgery, pediatrics, obstetrics, radiology. We've got genetic counselors, palliative care doctors. Such an incredible collaborative team that comes together around each one of these families and dedicates time and attention to them, that seems to an outside perspective maybe disproportionate. You know, you've got so many people all focused on this one condition, this one pregnancy, but it really leads to the benefit of the whole family, of the mother, of the baby, and we believe that it's the right way to practice medicine.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, assisted suicide or, you know, fetal medicine, you know, the people that are kind of in their weakest, the least among us, or the most vulnerable.
That's right.
It seems like these people that are on the periphery, you know, they're just easy to kind of just, well, they don't matter, you know, because maybe they're not producing an economic commodity or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And so we kind of see that at the two ends of the spectrum, you know, at the earliest stages of life and at the end of life, that these areas are being really attacked. So I think it's great what you're doing, because what you're saying is that it does really, if you're spending all this time and energy to treat this patient or to, you know, help this patient, progress into a good life, it really does give validity and an importance to that life.
It does. And it also is a reminder to us. I like how you mentioned that sometimes certain people in our society can be moved out to the periphery. I think even Pope Francis has talked about worrying about those who are out on the peripheries. And I think
that's where I got it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really important point because, you know, when we say that, the periphery, there's an unstated center. And who is the center for each of us? Well, it's me, right? Mm-hmm. If there's such a temptation to go through life thinking that I am the sun in my own personal solar system and everything around me revolves around me and people who aren't like me, they're way outside of my solar system. And so we need to remind ourselves that we aren't our own creator and we aren't the center of the solar system. And when you get to work with these families, it's really astounding to me the level of commitment and care and self-sacrifice that they are willing to make. I mean, we're talking about children who are born, you know, it's a spectrum from the very mild to the very severe, but some of whom need incredibly intensive day-to-day care and a huge sacrifice on the part of the caregiver. And, you know, on one hand, when you make a big sacrifice, if you get a great hug and pat on the back at the end, you know, you almost feel it's worth it. But in many of these cases, these children are so disabled, they can't look up and say thank you. They can't give that immediate feedback to the person caring for them. So it makes that job even more challenging. Mm-hmm. And so I see our task as not just advocating for generic human life everywhere, but to really support those who are on the front lines caring for the weakest and the most vulnerable among us. And I see fetal medicine as especially focused on supporting these families and these parents.
And you are going to be speaking at Holy Rosary about fetal medicine. Do you want to give like a little preview of your talk, like maybe what you're going to cover, just to kind of as a tease to get people to come out? And
absolutely. Well, you know,
and you don't have to register in advance.
No, not at all. And please show up. You know, if you make your decision 5 minutes before it starts, come on over. If you're running late, come on over. We welcome it. And
May 23rd, right?
It's Wednesday, May 23rd. It's 6:30. We're going to serve some dinner. There'll be yats there. And I think it's going to be a really great conversation. And it's going to not just be talking. I'm going to be showing a lot of images.
Okay.
I am a radiologist by training. I can't give a talk without showing some pictures.
I understand
and
that.
And so I'm going to be showing how the imaging that we're able to perform has really advanced our understanding, not just of what the problems are and how to fix them, but what normal development is like and how organs and body systems grow and develop from even the earliest weeks of pregnancy and how that enables our understanding of when things go wrong. So the more we've studied fetal medicine, the more we've been able to add to what we thought was a problem at its beginning at day one after birth, actually has this whole process before birth that it went through. And we're only just now seeing that, and it's leading to more careful and more precise therapies.
Now, this obviously would be of interest to someone, a couple who are pregnant, but who else would be interested, or who else are you thinking about as you make this presentation?
You know, I would say anybody who believes that we need to be focused on the weakest, the most vulnerable, the least among us. Mm-hmm. So this is not a talk for just the medical community, and it's not just a talk for those who are about to have a child. Really, anyone who has an interest, and I think we all have an interest, in the next generation and in the care of, as you say, the peripheries of society.
So what in your work has been the most rewarding, and what are the challenges that you face, you know, as a Catholic physician or in specifically in your line of work? What's rewarding and what do you feel have been challenges or are challenges?
Well, you know, sometimes the same exact case is incredibly rewarding and challenging. Mm-hmm. As you might imagine, when we deal with very complex pregnancies and very sick patients, sometimes we have an impact and a success, but we also have some cases that we can't do anything for. And I think it's very important for us to be humble and to say, here's what we can do, here's where we can help, but also to be honest when we have to say, we can't help here. We can't heal, but we can still care, you know, and to give care even when we can't provide that fix, that repair. So we've had patients who we've done a lot of work for, mm-hmm. and who have come very far along but haven't quite made it to birth, haven't quite made it to delivery, and that's always tough. It's tough on us, but it's especially hard for the families who have so much of themselves invested, and there's such an emotional roller coaster ride with discovering the problem and then working to fix the problem, and then, you know, with sometimes success, and sometimes we have to be honest and say there was nothing, you know, we're powerless to do anything here. In terms of repairing. But I think that the rewarding aspect for me is the fact that these families are so grateful. You would think that in the setting of a devastating injury to mm-hmm. your child or a devastating diagnosis that you would be so focused on that, that everything else would fade away. But so many of the families we work with really express gratitude just at having someone to sit and talk with, to share the experience, to support them on their journey, because that's what we all need. We need support. You know, life is challenging, and there are difficulties directly due to the fact that we're vulnerable. You know, we're not self-sufficient, and the more we pretend to be self-sufficient, I think the worse off we are, and this is the opposite. This is recognizing that we depend upon one another, and that the best thing we can do is to care in a community. And I love being a part of the Catholic community for that very reason.
So if someone wanted to hear more of you, more about fetal medicine, they can come out to Holy Rosary Wednesday, May 23rd from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. You don't have to register, right? You can just show up, right?
Please, please.
Right. So we've been talking with Dr. Brandon Brown about fetal medicine, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I hope to see everyone there.
Yeah, God bless.
Thank you.
And before we wrap up here, we want to remind people again of our golf outing. Still have room for a few foursomes or individual golfers. The date is Tuesday, May 22nd, Plum Creek Golf Club at Carmel. Going to be a great day. If you haven't signed up yet, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and sign up. Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, is going to be the speaker at dinner. It all starts with Mass at 11, lunch at 11:30, a fun day of golf. A great dinner and speaker, Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. So if you haven't registered yet, please get out to CatholicRadioIndy.org or just call us here at the station at 317-870-8400.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.